Okay, we are picking up five lines from the top of Mem Ches Amud Aleph. We're in the middle of the Mishnah of the words Vakosev Chelko Lenasi. Our learning is once again sponsored by Ula Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov, the Neshama Shadam and Aliyah. So the Mishnah was continuing discussing different things about a shared. We had the idea of Davar Shel Ole Bavel as a Bor Emcha Derech, and also a Ir, right? Different things that were shared by the town and things that were of Hefker. So the Gemara says, if you Chelkosev Chelko Nasi, someone who writes his share to the Nasi, when two people are Modar not from each other, so therefore. The Gemara is going to discuss it. Basically, they can lift the restriction because, again, if they each have a share in it, it's very problematic. If it's a town thing, so therefore it's going to be usher for them. So the way they could get out of it is by giving it to the Nasi. So they would give it to the Nasi in order to that it would, they don't have a share in it anymore. So that's what they used to do. And that's what's going on based on the Gemara. So the Gemara is Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echad Kosev LaNasi, Ve'echad Kosev LaHedyot. So there's no difference. If you don't have to dafka write to a nasi, you could give it to anybody as long as they just retract their share in these things that are davar shalosa ir, like the shul and the svarim and the teva. If they retract their rights to it, if they give it to somebody else, that's going to be okay. If they give it not just to the nasi, ma be kosev la nasi la kosev lahed. And what would then be the difference? Rabbi Yehuda says between someone who's writing his share to the nasi and someone who's writing his share to a regular person, shakosev nasi ain't tzarich lazakos. The difference is in terms of the kinyan. Somebody who writes a share to the nasi doesn't have to do any other kinyan. He doesn't have to do a halachic different kinyan to acquire it on the nasi's behalf. However, if you do it for the regular person, you would need to do it on another person's behalf. Now, normally, when it comes to kinyanim, so generally the way I affect an acquisition is that, let's say I write a document in the name of the person, I want to give him a gift or whatever it might be, I give that to a third party who then is going to be kona on behalf of whoever it might be. The zachen shadon labafana, if he's not there, or he could even if it, so that's how it works. That's how kinyanim generally works. So when you write your share in these items of the city to the nasi, here the chiddush is that you don't need a third party to affect this kinyan, and the moment that you write and sign this document, the nasi automatically gains possession of that share, because apparently his koyach of, according to the Ran, his koyach of kinyanim is more chashuv and works on a higher level than anybody else. So that's a very interesting thing. The Ritva says even further, you don't even need to write anything. Even just verbally declaring it to the nasi, it's like it's his already. So this is a very big question. What exactly, how exactly is that working? Some Rishonim understand that this is only working l'kavod anasi, that this is a takana derabanan. Really, we have kinyanim, and this is not a formal kinyan, but the fact that the rabbanan allowed this to work, that's all takana derabanan out of the kavod of the nasi, and generally this would not be any, even for a nasi, this is not something that should have been chal, but therefore, it is something that's a special halacha over here. By the way, it works. That's the difference. Yeah, you don't need somebody else, as opposed to when you're giving a gift to somebody else, you do need somebody else there to affect your kinyan. No. Both the one who's writing it to the nasi and the one who's writing it to Hedyot, both of them need the normal way of kinyanim. Lo dibru bis nasi ela behove. They only spoke about a nasi because that's common. People usually give it to a nasi. Why would it be common to give it to a nasi? So the Ran explains, because people were scared if they give it to somebody else, and that other person would eventually get angry at them, or whatever reason, or he has something against him, so he's going to make a neder, ushering him to use his share of these properties, and therefore, since he gave it to that person, then he would lose out. So therefore, that would be stuck. Therefore, it became the minhag to give it to the nasi, because the Jonathan generally doesn't have any personal vendettas against anybody. He doesn't really care. If you give him your personal share, he's not going to give it to anybody else, he's not going to be madder you enough from it, and it's going to be okay. Fine, very good. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in Anshe Galil Tzrichin Lichto. The people of Galil do not need to write a special document giving their shares to the Nasi, because why not? The Mishnah says, Shekfar Kosu Ava Sein Al Yedein, because their avos, their forefathers, had already written it for them. Apparently, we're going to see that they used to grant all of their the facilities of the town to the Nasi, so it would be impossible for anyone to not allow his friend to use their share. That's what the Gemara is going to explain, why, what led them to do this, but that's the din over here. So says the Gemara now. The Gemara was discussed, the Mishnah told us that when two people are going to be Aser Beneder from Nehneh from another, they're not allowed to use the city facility. So the Mishnah tells us, and someone is right to share to the Nasi. So the Gemara asks, Amai Mitzer, why is it Aser in the case The Nasi doesn't care. If you give it to the Nasi, it sounds like, and if you give it to the Nasi, also, the Gemara assumes in the Havamina that if you give your property to the Nasi, it becomes usher for you to use the facilities of the town. The Gemara says, why should that be? Amai Mitzar, why is that the case? So it says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes Hachiktani. No, this is what the Mishnah really means to say. Uma takanosan yichtavil chol kol anasi. What is the takana for people who are us or not from each other? So, and they're not allowed to use the city's facilities, so then they can both write their shares of the facilities to the Nasi, and therefore it's actually a takana. It's not that it was part of the case of the Isser. Rather, Rav Shesh is explaining, the Mishnah doesn't mean to tell us another case, but is telling us how to remedy and fix the previous case of the people who are no there are not from each other. It's not a different case than the Havamina. Rather, like the Maskana is telling us, it's really just Mefarish, what we were coming to talk about. Fine, the Gemara now quotes the Hemshech of the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echad Kosev Lanasi, Ve'echad Kosev Lehedyot. Someone who writes to a Nasi, who writes to a Hedyot, the same halachas. Rabbi Yehuda, sorry, they're not going to be the same halachas. Ma ben Kosev Lanasi, Kosev Lehedyot. HaKosev Lanasi, Ein Tzarech Lezakos, Ve'Kosev Lehedyot, Tzarech Lezakos. That was the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi does not require the person to write to the Nasi. Here, Rabbi Yehuda is not the Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. It's Tam Rabbi Yehuda. Rebbe is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Here is Rabbi Yehuda. Is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. Anyway, so it's, I just said Nasi as a Hemshech. Anyway, someone who's writing to the Nasi does not need to have someone else affect on the Nasi's behalf. And writing to us ahead, you would. So the Gemara is just continuing the Hemshech of the Nasi's point is that whether or not you need to do a kinyan is all part of the Hemshech of the Gemara. Okay. So this, Lachora, the Masoros HaShash points out, Lachora, that this is extra. Why is the Gemara quoting this whole point? We already gave the answer of Sheshes, then we're just having to quote the mission without it deriving, or discussing anything else. Okay, that's a question. Fine. Right in the next part of the Mishnah. So they do not need to do that. So says the Gemara, now Tanya, Raisa elaborates this idea of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Anshe Galat Kanteri Mayu. There are people who would fight with each other, right? A person who learned Torah Almanas Lakanter just to fight for the sake of showing that the Torah is incorrect, Chas v'Shalom, it's a very, in lo chelek l'mama, very, very scary thing. So, Kanter means they're fighting with each other. They would fight with each other all the time. But you know, but then all the time they'd make Nadarim, they'd make Nadarim prohibiting each other from driving benefit, they'd get so angry at each other. Amdu avasein v'kasu chalkein l'nasi. So what did they do? Their fathers got up and they wrote all of their shares to the Nasi so that the prohibited by the Nether future generations would not ask for them to use the things of the city and it wouldn't be an issue for them. That's what they realized, it's in order to avoid the issue of the few generations getting into the same problem. If they gave it all to the Nasi, there's no problem. Nobody has a share in them. It's not going to be a problem, Moder Anah, for that purpose. Now the Mishnah continues. A Moder Anah Mechavero. Someone who makes a neder benefiting from his friend. Ve'en l'ma lo'yechel. He doesn't have anything to eat. And he wants to provide food. Reuven made a neder that he's answering be'anah to Shimon anything. Now Shimon's not allowed to derive benefit from Reuven. Not l'achar b'Shimon Tana, so he can give it to Levi as a gift. And that's going to be permitted to then give it to, in turn, to Shimon, in order for him to eat it. This is really just an introduction to what we're just about to mention, because we already mentioned this halacha in early Mishnah. So this is just a mention in Daf Mem Gimel. We just mentioned it as an introduction to the Hemshech. So now, what's happened, Beis Choron is a famous case, because with this we made special tekanas in the Nedarim because of this, that a person of Beis Choron, she'aviv mudar emeinu, his father was prohibited by Neder to derive benefit from the son. So you have over here Yaakov, and Yaakov was Aser Be'ana to Yosef. So now, what happens? And Yosef is marrying off his children, is marrying off Ephraim, and he wanted his father Yaakov, who's the grandfather of Ephraim, to come to the Chasana. So what did he do? So he says the following, so I'm giving you my entire courtyard, my whole house, my courtyard, and where the whole area where the wedding, the suda is going to be, and it's to you as a gift. However, it's only that you should, my father should be able to come. He basically made that explicit in the Tanai, that he only wants it as a valid kinyan if his father's allowed to come. Amar, so the person heard this, and he realized it is just a harama to get out of his neder. Im shalihim, arei mukdashim l'shamayim. If they really are mine, then I'm going to make them hektish. Amar lo, so upon hearing this, the person who gave it to him was yelling at him. Nasati l'chatzalish, take kaddish on shemayim. I give them to you. You should be able to mekaddish them to shemayim. I clearly made it part of my tithe that I wanted my father to come. I didn't want you to give it. I don't give you the rights to mekaddish it l'shem shemayim. Amar lo, to be hektish. So the guy said, Nasata li es shalcha. Did you give me these for your purpose? Ela shetei ata ovivicha ochle neshosim ratzatim lezel hazeh. You made it. Your father has a neder hana, and you want your father to come and drink and be have together a merry time, which is nice. But there's a problem of a neder here. Yeah, avon talei b'roishai, and the neder should be really his b'roishi. It's like in lashon nekiyah. He doesn't want to say that I'm going to be punished for the avon adarim. We know how chamor as the shalom avon adarim is avon adarim abanim meisim rechmalatzlan. So he's saying to him, hey. Like, I'm not dealing with this neder problem. You're basically using me as your way out and going to be violating the dharma, and it's going to be on my head. I'm not doing that. I'm not accepting such a thing. Amr al-Chachamim, the Chachamim said regarding this, kamatana she'ina, she'im ekdisha te'im ekudeshas. Any gift that it's that the person can't be makdishit, it's going to be hektish, meaning it's not valid. If he's makdishit, then ina matana. That is not a valid matana. So therefore, it's not going to be a proper matana to him, and therefore when this case over here, when Yosef was giving it to somebody else, in order that Ephraim should come to the wedding, if Yosef was giving it to a random person, Reuven, in order that Ephraim should be able to, Yaakov rather, should come to the wedding of Ephraim, they should all be dancing and having fun together, that was going to be usher because he did not give the ability to this person that he gave it to be makdishit. That was our gear. So the Ran has an important other gear over here because it might be an afkamina. The lashon of the Ran is kol matana she'ena she'im hekdisha ena mekudeshes ena matana. Any gift that's not ena, meaning it's not sincere to the point where the person would not be allowed to be makdisha, it's not a valid gift. So basically, it's very similar to ours, but it might have one important nekuda over here that you can be medayik, that the Ran is medayik in that way, in that lashon, that the Mishnah is alluding to halacha, that there is one case where even though it's not that I cannot be makdishit, but it's still a full-fledged gift, and therefore it's going to be chal. Where do we have this? We should be familiar with the sukkis. How do we even have a level of daraisa? If I have a lulav, you have a lakaftim lachem by yom rishon, I have a chiyuv midaraisa for the lulav and esro to be mine on the first day. Yet we know that throughout Masechah Sukkah, that there's a concept called matana amanas lahafzir, and that is a shmei matana, that is a valid matana. But the halacha is a matana amanas lahafzir, I'm not allowed to be makdishit. So the Ran points up, yes, that actually is the exception based on the diuk of his gears of the Mishnah, that even though you're not allowed to be makdishit because you have to give it back, but all the while that you have it, it's still generally yours, and therefore there was a genuine giving over of this item, and therefore it's going to be a valid matana. As opposed to our case, which was not generally gifted, even for the temporary time that you wanted it, that is fundamentally not something which is chal, and therefore that is not going to be a valid matana. Very good. So now the Gemara has a question about the relationship between the first halacha of the Mishnah and the story. Usually we bring a maisa that has happened and is trying to prove halacha. But here the Gemara points out that maisa listra, seemingly this Mishnah is quoting, the Mishnah itself is quoting a maisa that seems to be contradicting the first halacha. It tells us, telling us that one is allowed to give in the case where Reuven was Asar Anab Shimon, he can give it to Levi and Levi will give it back to Shimon and that's okay to eat it. That's all fine. And then we quote this maisa that seemingly was trying to be a case of circumventing a neder and we're saying that it's completely Asar. So, l'chora, at the end of the day, why are you mentioning this rule in connection with the first halacha? They're usually bringing a proof. This is definitely not a proof. This is the opposite of the proof. This is a time where trying to circumvent the neder was in fact asr. Says the Gemara, just a very dochak answer, but when we're stuck, we have no choice. We have to say this. Chasure mefzer v'achik tani, that the Mishnah's text is lacking words. We have to fix the gear, so we have to fix the text a little bit and say the following. Here's what we have to say. So the Mishnah had to hemshech in the Reisha. When the Mishnah said, Hamoder na mechaver, and you want to do this case, that's okay. However, you have to continue. And then say, it's only okay if, but if the Madir makes that his intent clear, al tanai, he makes a real full-fledged tanai, then it's going to be Aser. And if he makes this tanai from the outside, he makes this tanai, that is not going to be okay. Umaisa, now this is a riot. Just like we see by Beis Choron Be'echad, where he made his tnai very clear, he made his condition for the neder being clear, that it was an insincere neder, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us that that case would in fact be problematic, and that is a proof to the halacha. So we basically had to add in the line that if you're making a tnai, you're making a type of a condition that would invalidate the neder, if certain things wouldn't be chal, and it showed you that it's showing it to all a harama, that would not be okay. Now again, even in the case, as the Ran points out, that even in the case where Reuven clearly was giving Levi the gift in order to give it to Shimon, but really, Levi didn't have to give it to Shimon. There was no tnai that was part of the condition of Reuven giving it to Levi, and that's why the Reisha of the Mishnah is okay. As opposed to, the Ran says, when it comes to the case of Beis Choron, that in the condition of in our example that we used, Yosef was giving it to this random guy, Reuven, in order that Yaakov should come, and that he can't be makdishit to avoid Yaakov not being able to come. So therefore, it was a fundamental lacking of the actual giving over that wasn't a real gift, and therefore, that's why it was invalid. Very important aura from the Ran. So now the Mishnah tells us weiter. Amar Rava, lo shanu ela de amar lei v'ena lefanecha elak deshe leva abba. The halach about the gift is invalid is only where the person giving it said to the guy, v'avina lefanecha elak deshe leva abba, that my chatzer and is going to be on condition that only so far as my father should come and eat with us. Since he tells us again, this is a full-fledged tnai, as we mentioned before, that denies the person who gets it any actual rights to the gift, therefore it's not chal. However, if he says the following, Amar lei she'il lefanecha she'avo abba, he told him, this is yours, and he tells him, the only reason I'm doing this to you is actually that my father should be able to come with us, then it's going to be chal. Because at the end of the day, you know the reason I'm giving it to you, but still at the end of the day, a person is have the koyach to be able to limit it by being makdishit, and therefore since it wasn't part of the tanai, that his father has to come in order for him to give it to it, that it was a full-fledged gift, and even though it's mochiach why he wanted this to be done, but still at the end of the day, the other guy can do whatever he wants with it, and therefore you really own the property, that the father would be allowed to come and have benefit because it really was not his. The Gemara Beitza has a similar case that the Ran points out that well, the person who similarly says that give a person that is on a shchimera, he's dying, and he says, give 400 zuz and tell him to marry my daughter, let him go marry my daughter. So the Gemara says that person gets the 400 zuz, and he can decide if he wants to in fact marry that guy's daughter or not. But it's not part of the tanai of getting the 400 zuz. So similarly over here, if it wasn't part of the tanai of giving it, that it's a full-fledged gift, and let the guy decide what he wants to do with after, even though we know why he wanted to give it, still, we don't make it as part of the reason that it would be chal or not chal. Very good. Another version of Rava, Lishna Achrina. This is a different version of how we say Rava over. Amrina La, we say, Amar Rava, lo tema taima damar lei, vina lafanacha hu de asher. Don't tell me that the Mishnah's reasoning is that the father is asher to partake in the Suda of the wedding is because the giver explicitly told the guy that he wants it before you. Aval Amar lei, hein lafanacha sheva v'yochal mutter. Don't tell me that. El afilu Amar lei, fanacha v'yochal asher. According to this version, it's asher to do that for the father to come. That the reason that we said that is only because it's clearly a sham, and therefore it's not going to be chal. So therefore, my time. What's the reason? Sudas machiach alav. In this version, the fact that you have the whole suuda, the whole big meal, and that he wants him to come, that clearly shows. Even if he doesn't describe it explicitly, it clearly was kielu part of the tanai, and therefore this is not really a full fledged gift, and therefore it's going to be void. It's not going to be chal. That's the second formulation over here, that it would not be good. Okay. Turning on to the next Nama now. So now a story. Ahu Gavra, turning on to Mem Chesam Beis. Ahu Gavra, Tahavile Bra, Tavishamit Kaifei Dechinta. There was a guy who had, unfortunately a son who went off the derech. He was stealing different things. Kaifei Dechinta is like a type of flax. He was stealing flax. Asrinul Nechsei Ale. So the guy was very upset with his son. So therefore the father decided to asser all of his property on his son through a neder. Amrulay, they said to the father, V'avi bar brach turmin rabban in mai. But wait a second, this guy's off the derech, but you never know, people could come back. Baruch Hashem, we see that so many veishi live avos abanim, that people come back, so many generations of people who are not appreciative of Torah, they're coming back and they're learning Torah. Your grandson's going to be a big Talmud Chacham. Now you're going to not want the Talmud Chacham grandson to have any part of your estate. You should definitely want it to give him. So why would you do that? So, like Gemara says, Amar Lohan, he said, oh my gosh, you're right. Liknein, so you're right, I want that son to acquire half my property, al tanai, v'yavi be'bar, it's a marabanan liknei, that if my grandson becomes a Talmud Chacham, then I want him to acquire it. So I don't want my son who's off the derech to get anything, but if Itaka has given me grandchildren who are Talmidei Chachamim, so that I do want that Talmud Chacham to be able to inherit me. That's what he said over here. The Ran asked a question over here, that the neder lachora should not prevent the son from inheriting the father. We learn on yesterday's daf, Mem Zayin, that even when someone makes a neder, answering a son for benefit from these properties, so that that prohibition is going to even be chayiv mosi, the son would inherit him and may give the property to someone else. So lachora. So what's going on over here? Why is this any different? So the Ran explains that besides declaring the neder, the father also made clearly intent before he died to give all of his property as a gift to his other son while he's still alive. So therefore, it doesn't get into the lachos of Yerusha. Then they told him about this whole Indian, and then he decided to change his mind. That's what the Ran says. Fine. So that's what's going on over here. They wanted to give it to them. So therefore, what happened over here is that when he changed his mind, the person on his deathbed, he gave half of his property to his good son, and the other half, he gave it on condition that I'm only giving it to my second son, who's off the derech, only on condition that if his son becomes a Talmud Chacham, that he's giving it to him. So really, I'm just avoiding him, but I'm using him as a, like a, a tunnel to get to the next son. And through him, I'm going to give it to him. So that's the Shaila is, and the Rishonim, why do you have to come onto this? Why doesn't he just give his share directly to the grandson on condition that he would become a Talmud Chacham? So some explain that maybe he decided Dafka, he wanted to be held like in a trust for the grandson until he actually earned it. And others explain that he didn't have children. That's the Muslim plan to it. He's saying that if you have another child, then one day it becomes Talmud Chacham. The child wasn't even in the world yet, so therefore he can't give a Davar Shulub al-Olam. And that's why he couldn't give it. That's, I think, a very mistaber shot over here, is that he was saying maybe he'll have a child one day that'll be a Talmud. He didn't even have children yet. He didn't have any children. So he's saying, maybe I'll have a child one day. That's a Talmud Chacham. So to that, he said, oh, it's a taka. So how am I can't be a makna devar shalom alolam. So therefore, he had to do this weird situation where he's giving it to the off the derech son, al tanai, that maybe one day the grandson should be able to be koneh. So the Gemara asks, what's the halacha in this case? My, is this a valid kinyan? Since really at the end of the day, the guy off the derech is not getting any rights to the property, so can we assume that this is a real full-fledged gift to him on condition that he gives it to his son? So the Gemara says, machlokas over here. Amrei Pimpadisa. So Pimpadisa said, "Kane amanas lahaknos." Who? This is a case of acquiring on condition to give it to someone else. And the halacha is, "Kane amanas lahaknos lo kane." That this is not a valid gift, even though we have a concept of amatana amanas lahachzir. This essentially is the same thing. At the end of the day, I'm giving it to you to give it back to me. This case is different because where the first person has no rights, even while the property is quote unquote his, it's not really his. So then that's going to be a gift that's not really chal, and therefore it's not going to be given according to Pumbadisa. That's the point of Pumbadisa, that since you never really gave it to the first guy, similar to why we're mentioning the story, similar to what we just saw before, that where the guy didn't have the real rights to it, the etzem, that's not really called a gift. So therefore here also, Rav Nachman Amar Kaner. Rav Nachman says, no, he does acquire it. He does acquire it. According to Rav Nachman, the grandson is a Talmud Chacham, he would acquire half the property. Why? The Hasudra. Whenever one someone gives a sudra, that's a sudra is a kinin chalipin. Kinin chalipin is a whole a different type of kinin than everything else we have. We do, people don't really know what's going on, we do a kinin chalipin. But the whole idea of a kinin chalipin, the way Rav Shlomo always explained it, Rav Shlomo said many times, is a kinin of das. You're transferring an item through das alone. That's why there's different halachas in kinin chalipin than other halachas. So anyway, so a kinin chalipin, the kinin chalipin the Gemara is referring to over here, is the formalizing an agreement. So if Reuven wants to transfer a piece of land to Shimon, how can he do it? Through Chalipin. The Kalev Shokone. Shimon gives Reuven many times why it's called Chalipin. It's because usually it was people would use a type of handkerchief, whatever they use, they pick that up, and you give it to him. When do we do this? By the way, people are unfamiliar with this, but that's what's going on when we're doing a Kinan Chalipin, when you're appointing the Rav to sell your chametz, because really the rav is acquiring your chametz. We do a lot of different chumas. Rav Shekhar talks about it. We're machmir for every type of kinyan to make sure it's a kinyan b'darei, so the guy that the rav is doing it for you. So what happens is the rav is the kona. That's why he's giving you his pen, because he is kona. We use kelev shel kona through a chalipin as another way. It's again as another form of, we do a lot of, we do a kinyan star, we shaking hand, we do a lot of different, that's later the shaking hand, that's going to be with the goy, we do that. But here we do a kinyan star, and we also, to solidify his shlichus as being kona your chametz, so really the rav is in charge of everyone in the community's chametz. He owns all the chametz at that point. Then he goes ahead and sells it to the goy. Rav Shekhar says people get confused, is that then they realize that they use the pen, even the rav, they'll get confused. They use the pen to be kona all the chametz, and the rav will give the pen to the goy. That's not how you're supposed to do it. The goy is a kalev shel kona there. He's buying all the chametz from the rav. So what he does is he should give his pen to be kona the item. We do a lot of other kinyanim also. We do maos. We do a lot of different things that the goy should be kona. But either way, you should just realize that's what's going on. When the rav is giving you his pen to buy the chametz, you should realize that's kinyan chalipin. So over here, this is the kinyan chalipin. So the kinyan chalipin is going to be given in our case, and therefore it's kane al manas laknasu is a case of acquiring on condition to give to someone else. Since he gives a formality of the kinyan chalipin, that is going to be okay according to Rav Nachman. Since it's legally considered the owner of whoever is the kelev shel koneh for that moment on, and therefore the kinyan chalipin would tell us that tonight is going to be halakhically a valid acquisition. That's how the Ron explains it. So therefore, the acquisition of this, of the handkerchief over here for Chalipin is similar to the idea that because all I'm doing is picking up something and then Kona something else. Isn't that a Kona Amanas? That's the whole point the Ron is making. So therefore, similarly here, when you have the, off the Derech son, and what he's getting, his acquisition of the property is going to be Kona on Das, that which he gives is going to be given to his son. It's mamish like a Kinan Chalipin. It's no different than a Kinan Chalipin according to Rav Nachman. So says the Gemara, is that really true though? Amar Ravashi, Uman Lemalan de Sudra itafis le lomitvas. But according to you, Rav Nachman, would you tell me that in the case where a kinyan by chalipin, if the guy takes the the person taking the handkerchief and refuses to return it to the original owner, is that not going to be, you're not allowed to keep it, even though it's customary that the minug was that the person returns that, right? When I use Caleb Shalkona, you pick up the Rav's pen. So theoretically, I could keep it. Is he allowed to, maybe I'll be allowed, though I'm allowed to keep the Rav's pen at that point. Therefore, when it comes to kinyan chalipin, it's not merely just on almanas, because it's a full-fledged, kinyan, because at the end of the day, I kone his pen. Minna gives to give it back to him. It's very nice of you. The Rav would have to give it a lot of pens. For everybody's doing it, that's the general Caleb Shokona. You give it back. But Alpi Din, we're tying now, Ravashi says, Alpi Alecha, you don't give it. You don't have to give it back. You don't have to give it back. You can keep it. And as opposed, and therefore there is actually something be'in that is allowing you to give it to somebody, to transfer this possession. As opposed to the case where it comes to the son who's off the deres, there was no actual formal thing that was given. And Ravashi counters another point. Sudra kane almanas lakdos kane minashta. The case of a kinyan sudar, which is a kinyan chalipim, is that is almanas lakdos v'kane minashta, and is acquired immediately. Therefore, your limited ownership at the moment the person of the kinyan chalipin is taking place is exchanged before returning the kinyan chalipin, and therefore it's different. But these properties of the father to the off the derech son, at what point is the son going to be acquiring them? But only one, his grandson, becomes a talmid chacham. When he comes to talmid chacham, harder to demare. So then the item which you used, the handkerchief which you used to affect the transaction has been returned to its original owner, because the point is that the father before dying gave his son a share of his properties to the off the derech son, so he must have performed some kinyan to formalize that action, which is kinyan sudar. So then he forms a kinyan sudar, and the point is that the same halacha should apply if the kinyan was affected by means of a chazaka. Similar thing again, any way you're doing it, when giving it back, that's going to be a problem. That would be a problem over here, that even if the acquisition on condition was going to be chal, there's no basis for the son who is off the derech to receive the share in the farm and be able to give it back. Because it's different. That's why his argument, that the time of the kinyan is supposed to take effect, so the act that triggers the kinyan is already, it's calls the kinyan, kilo, the kinyan is no longer there, and therefore it's not going to be chal. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Rav Nachman, Rav says to Rav Nachman, V'ha amatnas beis choron, wait a second, I have another kasha on you, Rav Nachman, the matana beis choron that we described in Mishnah, the kane almanas laknosu, is an example of something which is acquiring on condition to give to something else. Because again, the madir did not want to give it to the guy actually. He actually just gave it on condition that his father should be able to come. And yet the Mishnah told us it's not chal. So lechora Rav Nachman, it's a bam raya against you that you're wrong. Because over there, that's mamish kona almanas laknosu and doesn't work in the Mishnah. So Rav Nachman responded differently. Zimnin amar le, mishum disudosim chazav. Really, the concept of almanas to give to something else actually is a valid matana. Over here, it's different because the whole suda, the big party that they had and the whole meal that he prepared for his son's wedding shows that his gift was never sincere in the first place. And since nobody prepares a wedding for his son and then gives it away, it's obvious that wasn't a formal transaction. So therefore, the whole thing was a sham that's different than a normal case of almanas to something else. It's different than our case. Vizimnan Amarle, and other times, Rabbi Lezer Damar, Afilu Vitr Asr Munaranam. Maybe you could explain that when it comes to the subject of the neder, it's Asr to take from his fellow even a small benefit which order would normally give to him, and that's also Asr, and that's the Mishnah's actual case, is similar to Rabbi Lezer. Ranach means that we have a parallel to Rabbi Lezer to our Mishnah. To the concept of Vitr, we see that Munaranam are more chamar than actually Dine Mamonos. Under dinner mamonos, someone would allow a person to go into his courtyard without requesting permission to pay, to go through it. However, when it comes to nadarm, we're more machmir, it's a similar here, we're more machmir than a normal case of a gift, which is regular hilchos nadarm, which is a regular hilchos mamon, which is different than our case. That's Rav Nachman's time back. So says the Gemara now, another kasha on Rav Nachman. Tnan. Amru Chachamim, the Chachamim said regarding Beis Choron, Koma Natana She'im Ekdisha, Teimu Kadesh, is Eina Matana. So Kola to Yemen, what is any gift? Any gift to include what? That is Nachal. Lala to Yehai Milsa. So doesn't that include a case where the son who's stealing and where the gift was not granted on a condition to give to something else, that the Mishnah is telling us that whenever it's given on condition is not going to be a valid matana, and therefore this is a raya against Rav Nachman again? So Zeg Mar, no, lo latuye lishna basra de shamed de Rava. It's excluding the latter version of Rava, which is the Mishnah was talking about the gift of a wedding, which is void only if the madir expressly makes the tnai that is given to that the father should be allowed to partake. In other circumstances, however, that gift the recipient would be getting is considered valid. So lafuki that, Rav Nachman is telling us, that specific case is coming to tell you that case is also going to be a valid form of a gift. So we see from there that would be including, that's not a kasha on Rav Nachman. With that we finish Hadron al-Chashutvin, Be'ez Hashem will pick up with Hanoder, Minam Avushal, Mirz Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.